Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
John chapter number 13. John chapter 13. Sure thankful for the privilege, thankful for the opportunity to be here. I look around the room and I see a whole lot of people. Whole lot more able, a whole lot, would do a whole lot better job than I am, than I'm going to do. But through the Lord's help, I want to try to help you with a lesson that He gave me. This lesson I taught one time before, a few years ago. If you've heard it before, I apologize. But when the Lord brought me back to these verses, I couldn't get off my mind, so began to pray, and I believe this is what the Lord had for us this evening. I told the preacher, told me he was sick, pretty bummed. He said that he was just bummed that he wasn't going to be here. I said, well, don't worry. I said, when the church sees me stand up, they'll be bummed too. I said, that's like replacing a racing stallion with a miniature pony. I said, they're getting gypped this evening. But with the help of the Lord, I'm going to try my best to give you what the Lord give me and hope I can get it out the way that He give it to me. John chapter 13, we'll read the first few verses, but I want to take my main thought out of verse number 2. We'll start reading in verse 2. The Bible says, "And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand, and that he was come from God, and went to God, he riseth from supper, and laid aside his garments, and took a towel, and girded himself, after he had poured the water into a basin, and began to wash his disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded." Now, before y'all get nervous, I'm not talking about foot washing tonight. My opinion on that is I try to do it for myself daily, but I ain't going to partake in anybody else's. I hope that you daily try to do that yourself. I ain't going to stand up here and argue with you about it. One way or the other, be dogmatic about it. But if the preacher's schedule says we're having a foot washing, hope he does it on the Sunday that I work. No, I'm just joking. I'm not talking about foot washing. I want to take my thought out of verse number 2 and just talk about the simple thought of don't allow Satan to use you. Don't allow Satan to use you. And you say, well, this is a Wednesday night. This is the elite of the crowd here tonight. And you're right, it is. Everybody that comes here is normally here Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. We're all pretty active in the church. We are the elite crowd, if you want to look at that away. Judas was an elite too, though. Judas was one of the 12 disciples. He walked with the Lord daily. He talked with the Lord daily. He was one of the most trusted disciples, if you want to look at it that way. He was the one that carried the money bag. He was the treasurer, if you want to look at it that way. He was very trusted. He was a trustworthy individual in the world's eyes is how that'd be looked at. He was of the elite crowd. But still, Judas had weaknesses. And he allowed Satan to use him. And he ended up dying in his sin because of that. And I want to just take a simple thought, talk to you, about don't allow Satan to use you. The Bible says, and supper being ended, am I too loud? Is that too loud? Okay. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. When we think about this text, what comes to my mind is the attack of Satan on each one of us. We all face it. If you're saved, you face it. If you're lost, you face that because Satan has got you bound in sin. But we all face the attack of Satan on our life. And I just want to try to help you tonight of how we can guard ourselves against that, against Satan from using our weaknesses. To either, if you're lost, to hinder you from accepting Him as your Savior, but if you're saved, hinder you or render you incapable of being a productive Christian or render you incapable of doing anything productive for the Lord. And in our text verses here, we see that Jesus is washing the disciples' feet. In chapter 12, the previous chapter, you'll notice if you go back and read that in the first few verses, the feet of Jesus were anointed with that with that oil there, and that was a representation of Him walking through life, a sinless life, a perfect life, a life of holiness and undefiled. And the feet of a person represent our walk through daily life. And these verses, we see the disciples. I told you I won't teach on foot washing. I'm not. But I just want to give you this in passing. The disciples' feet needed to be washed. You'll notice that he didn't wash them with oil, or he didn't anoint them with oil, because we're not sinless. We're not perfect as he is. He didn't wash them with blood, because there's no need to be washed with blood twice. Once the blood's been applied, once you've accepted Jesus as your Savior, you're saved forever. The blood don't need to be applied again. He sacrificed himself one time, and that's all it took. But he washed them with water, and that was a representation from what I can study, and if I'm wrong, you can correct me afterwards. But from what I can study out of this, that was a representation of our Christian walk, that we do have to be washed from the dirt that we pick up through our daily walk in this Christian life. We walk through sin every day. We walk alongside of sin every day. And we have to be cleansed from that. If we sin, we have to ask forgiveness for that. We need to wash that dirt off. And that was a representation there of Jesus washing the disciples' feet from what I can study. But the blood of Jesus only needed to be applied for one time for the cleansing of sin, past, present, and future. I'll read you a few verses. Hebrews 14 says this, "For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified." John 10 says, "And I gave unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." Romans 8 says, "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus." Basically, he listed out everything that could possibly be that you could possibly think of. And then he said, "Just in case I missed anything, nor any other creature is able to separate us from the love of God." And I'm thankful for that. He said nothing is able to do that. Philippians says, "Being confident," Paul is the writer here, "of this very thing, that being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it till the day of Jesus Christ." I'm thankful that our salvation is eternal. It's settled. There's nothing. Once you accept Jesus as your Savior, you don't have to worry about it no longer. Yes, you can mess up, but I'm thankful for 1 John 1:9. That says, "If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins." I'm thankful for that. And but now we look in our text verse, and the Bible says, I backed out of my notes. I better pull them back up. I'd be in a mess. The Bible says, "The devil, having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him," you'll see that Satan placed that in his heart. And Judas, we've already talked about, was the one that betrayed the Lord. You'll notice I'll read you a verse in Matthew, a few verses, and it talks about Judas's betrayal and how he sold the Lord for 30 pieces of silver. "Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priests and said unto them, 'What will ye give me? And I will deliver him unto you.' And they coveted with him for 30 pieces of silver. And from that time he sought opportunity to betray him." Right here we get a little glimpse into Judas's character. He had a love for money. John 12, verse number 4 through 6. I'm going to turn over there and read a few verses there. Actually, I'm going to back up and read verse number 3. "Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. And then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief, and had the bag, and bared what was put therein." I get a drink this while I'm nervous. I told Brother Rodney just a minute ago, I had the opportunity to speak at the Vacation Bible School at Charity Hill last night. And so I was I told Brother Rodney, I've been riding a two-day high nervous. And so y'all pray for me. But it was wonderful. I had a good time. Seen some of our teens from Amazing Grace there. Man, that made me proud to see some familiar faces. And that was great. Enjoyed myself. But I've been riding a two-day nervous high. So y'all forgive me. Pray for me. And I better back up reading the verses again and read them right this time. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of ointment. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. So we get a glimpse into Judas's true nature here, his true character. He was the treasurer of the group. If you want to look at that away, as we said, he didn't care about the poor. That wasn't his intention. He cared about himself. What he wanted was to sell that, and then that way he could have it, put it in his money pouch, if you want to think of that away, and that way he could get his percentage that he thought he was owed. And he was just worried about himself. He just wanted to steal. He wanted to be a thief. And I'll say this, you can tell a whole lot about a person or about an organization by how they handle money. And man, I'm thankful that we have a church that keeps a good record, counts for every red cent. That's not everywhere. I'm thankful for that. And that tells you a lot about the people of our church. It tells you a lot about our pastor. It tells you a lot about our treasurer. And I'm thankful for a church that keeps a good record. And it shows you where their heart is. I'm thankful that I'm a part of a church like that. But Judas allowed Satan to use him. He allowed Satan to take that weakness, his love for money. Money ain't the root of all evil, but the Bible says that the love of money is the root of all evil. And he allowed Satan to take that weakness and condemn him to hell and die in his sin. And I know in our text, Judas died here, I believe, a lost man. I may be wrong, but that's just my personal belief, because you never see Judas turn back to the Lord and ask forgiveness for that. You never see him turn to the Lord. He continually, every time you see Judas, he denied the Lord. And that's my belief. You can correct me if I'm wrong. Show me in the Bible if I'm wrong. And I'm not saying I'm not, but that's just what my belief is here. But I don't believe I'm taking it out of context. When I say you and I as Christians, we better be careful about our weaknesses and how that we allow those to how we're open about those. Satan's not like the Lord. He's not all-knowing. But if we tell him about our weaknesses, or if we show him our weaknesses, or if we're not careful about guarding our weaknesses, he can use those weaknesses to, if you're lost, to send you to a devil's hell. But if you're saved, render you incapable of doing anything for the Lord, as we say. We better be careful about our weaknesses. And Judas here was very good, you could say, at hiding that. He was of the elites. We know that. We've talked about that. That's who Judas was. He literally walked by the Lord each day through his earthly ministry, and the Bible tells us that. No one expected or even thought that Judas was a false believer. Only the Lord knew that. He was very good at hiding it. He was very good at hiding his weaknesses too, but Satan took over Judas, I believe, gradually. I don't believe Satan takes over anybody suddenly. I believe there's little things through your life, little things here and there, that he starts placing. He starts exploiting your weaknesses. He starts figuring out what those weaknesses are, and then he starts putting that temptation in front of you. He starts putting that temptation in front of me, and he starts doing that, and then gradually he gets a hold of you, and then he just takes you over completely. I don't believe he does it suddenly. I believe it's gradually, and then he finally has a hold of you. And he takes over that opportunity. And the Lord, we'll see here in a minute, gave Judas many opportunities to accept him. He gave Judas many opportunities to be honest with himself. And that's what we got to be. We got to be honest with ourselves. If we never admit our weaknesses, we'll never admit them to the Lord. And the only way we'll ever overcome them is with the Lord's help, if we allow him to do that. But the Lord gave Judas many opportunities. And then Satan, he kept denying the Lord, and Satan moved in and took him over completely. And so I want to talk to you. I got just a few points. I'll be done shortly. And we still got good time. But I won't be too long. Of how, don't allow Satan to use you. How can we fight Satan from using our weaknesses to make us fall? And Judas, we'll see here in a minute, literally kissed the face of the Savior. And he failed. And when a preacher texted me and asked me to teach, this just made me think about it, because that's humbling to know how close Judas was to the Lord and still failed. The Lord knows exactly how sinful I am. He knows exactly how wicked I am. He knows exactly how much I fail Him each and every day. But He still allows, I'm thankful for the opportunity to stand here, because it humbles me to think how He still allows me to be used in such a small way. I'm studying this to teach this Sunday in youth church out of Psalms 139, and it talks about, O Lord, Thou hast known, searched me, and Thou knowest me. Thou knowest my down settings and my uprising. God knows us. He knows us better than we know ourselves. And I'm thankful that He allows me to serve Him in a small way. But it's humbling to know how close Judas was to the Lord physically and still messed up. And man, me and you, we got to be careful. If Jesus can get one of the elites, one of the disciples, one that physically walked with Jesus in human form, man, we're nothing compared to that. We got to be careful. We got to watch it. If you're lost, I pray that you wouldn't let your weaknesses take you to hell. If you're saved, I pray that we wouldn't let our weaknesses. I know, Satan can never take me to hell, but if I don't be careful with my weaknesses, boy, he can exploit those. He can ruin my life. He can ruin your life. And we got to be careful. Number one, I'd say this. We must recognize our enemy. Judas, he didn't recognize his enemy. He was too caught up in the opportunity to gain earthly wealth. He was too caught up in the opportunity to gain for himself and his own weaknesses. And he didn't recognize who his enemy really was. And his enemy is Satan. Your enemy, my enemy is Satan. And Judas didn't recognize that. He had already made plans. I'm going to turn to Matthew chapter number 26 and read a few verses. I don't have it marked. You can turn with me if you want to. Matthew 26, verse number 14 through 16. The Bible says this, Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priest and said unto them, What will ye give me? And I will deliver him unto you. And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. And from that time he sought opportunity to betray the Lord, to betray him. And so we see that Judas is already making plans to do this. He had planned this out because he didn't recognize who his enemy was. If you want to look at it this way, the way he was treating the Lord right here, he's treating the Lord as an enemy. He was making plans to betray him. He didn't recognize his enemy. And all the same time, Jesus has shown Judas nothing but friendship. If you look back at our text verses, John 13, 2 through 5, you'll notice that Jesus is washing his feet. He's offering him friendship. Verse number 26 of chapter 13, we see that Jesus shares food with him. It says, Jesus answered, He it is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after the sop, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, That thou doest, doest quickly. So Jesus has offered him friendship. He's offered him food, and I'll say this, if I'm going to share food with you, I'm going to like you pretty good. The only person I share food with is my wife, and I don't even do that willingly most of the time. No, I'm just joking. But Jesus loved Judas. He showed Judas nothing but love, nothing but friendship. And Judas continued to betray him. It's heartbreaking to think about this, consider how good God was to him. Still, he did something so vile, so wicked. And I know you say, well, that was the Lord's plan. You're right, it was. But what we don't understand, and it's hard for our minds to understand this, Jesus, God, sees time all the same time. I can't even describe it. I mean, there's no beginning, there's no ending. And He sees it all at the same time. He sees each individual life and their whole span of the life at the same time. Yes, He knew Judas would do this. But He still gave Judas a free will and offered him time and time again to not go down that road, to not allow his weaknesses to take advantage of him. But what Judas do? He continued. And he didn't take advantage of the opportunities that the Lord gave him. So yes, it was the will of God, but Judas still had a free will to make that choice. And Judas was blind to who his enemy was. And the Lord's not your enemy. The church ain't your enemy. I can promise you I'm not your enemy. And you're not my enemy. we may have disagreements here and there. Yes, we're going to. We're human. But we're not enemies. Satan is our enemy. That's who we need to be focused on. That's who we need to be fighting against and having our focus on. He's our true enemy. The Bible says, be sober and be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Ephesians 6 says this, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Satan's our enemy. Our only way to defeat him is through the Lord, is to put on that armor of God. Allow the Lord to help us. Realize our weaknesses. And that brings me to our next point. Number two, I'd say, recognize our weaknesses. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians, lest Satan should get advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Number two, I'd say, we must recognize our weaknesses. Judas was so caught up in his desire for earthly gain, he didn't recognize his weaknesses. And you may say, well, I don't have no weaknesses. Well, see me after church, you can anoint me with oil, pray over me, and sign my Bible. I do. I have weaknesses. The Lord knows them. And I know if you're honest with yourself, you have weaknesses. We have things that tempt us. My weaknesses, my temptations may be different than yours. Your weaknesses may be different than mine. But we all have them. And we got to recognize them. We got to be honest with ourselves about them. Because if we're not honest with ourselves, we'll never confess them to the Lord. We'll never ask the Lord to help us with them. That's our only hope in overcoming them, is asking the Lord to help us with them. But Judas was blind to his weaknesses, and he allowed that blindness to destroy him. And once Judas had realized what he'd, I'll just read you some verses. I'm going to turn back over to Matthew chapter 27. You ain't got to turn with me, but you can if you want to. Matthew chapter 27, verse 3 through 5. The Bible says this. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders, saying, I have sinned, and that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? See thou to that. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple, and departed and went and hanged himself. We notice that Judas never repented for his sin. He never repented to the Lord, but by the time he recognized his weakness, it was too late. He had already failed. He had already done one of the most unimaginable things that you could ever do, betray the one that literally is going to give his life for you. Betray the one that literally has given his life for you. And Judas allowed his weaknesses to destroy him in his continual rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't recognize it. I guess you could say it this way. The terror of this moment is like everybody else. We all have a free will, and he willingly chose to do that. He was given opportunity, but he either ignored it or resisted the truth the entire time that he followed Jesus. I'm going to turn over to John 13, right here in our text, and read verses 2. And you'll see that he opened himself up to a satanic attack. Bible says, and supper being ended, the devil, having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. I'm going to turn over to Luke, read chapter 22, verse 3. It's another account of it. Bible proving itself, if you want to think of that away. Chapter 22, verse 3. I told him last night, I kept turning, trying to find my place whenever I was talking to Charity Hill. The teens will know I said this, the ones that were there. And my papa used to always tell me, he was a preacher, he said, if the pastor keeps telling you the verse, well, it's not because he wants you to know where he's going, because he can't find it either. And so he always told me that. Luke chapter 22, verse number 3, the Bible says, then entered Satan into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, being of the number of the 12. Judas allowed himself to be overtaken by Satan in his continual rejection of the Lord. And that's a scary part, because the Bible tells us in Proverbs that sure destruction will come to them. That well, let's just turn over to Proverbs and read it. Chapter 29, verse 1. It talks about sure destruction. We still got time, don't we? Yeah, I'll be done shortly. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 1. The Bible says this. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. If we reject the Lord, it offers sudden destruction. And Judas lost control in what he thought, what he done. And he didn't have to do that, but he did that because of decisions he'd already made. And his continual rejection of the Lord offering him help. But thankful that Jesus offers us help. You and I that are saved. If we're lost, He offers us the help of salvation. If we're saved, He offers us the help to overcome that. Because either way, whether you're lost or whether you're saved, Jesus is the answer. He offers the same help either way. And He's our only way to recognize or to overcome our weaknesses. 2 Corinthians 12:9 says this, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Recognize our weaknesses. Number one, we had to recognize our enemy. Number two, we had to recognize our weaknesses. And lastly, number three, I'd say we must recognize our Savior. Like I said, whether you're lost, He's your Savior. If you're already saved, He's still your Savior. And you get so much more than just salvation from hell. He offers you so much more than that. If you're lost, He offers you salvation. He offers to save you from a devil's hell. He offers to come into your heart, clean you up, take you to heaven with Him. Luke 19:10 says, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. John 3:16, familiar. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Verse 17 says, for God sent not His Son to the world to condemn the world, but the world through Him might be saved. And I know it's a Wednesday night crowd. Just ain't nobody here lost. Well, I only know for sure that I'm saved. That's between you and the Lord. I believe that everybody sitting here is saved. I believe that. But I don't know that for sure. That's between you and the Lord. And there might be somebody here that's lost. And so I say that to say this. Recognize your Savior. Recognize how good God, even if you've never accepted Him, recognize how good He's been to you. And I pray that you'd accept Him. Either way, whether you're saved or you're lost, He's still our Savior. And He's our only hope in overcoming our weaknesses. Judas didn't recognize Him. Judas didn't recognize who He really had. He walked with Him day in and day out and failed to recognize who Jesus truly was and didn't truly recognize or believe that Jesus was the Savior. Satan blinded him to the truth. And it was customary, if you study in that day, for the host at a banquet to take a piece of bread and dip it in the soup and feed it to the guest of honor. If you'll notice those verses we read in John chapter 13, I believe it was 26 or 27, Jesus dipped the sop, it said, and gave it to Judas. He made Judas His guest of honor. That's how much Jesus loved Judas, knowing that He was going to betray Him. That's how much Jesus loves you and I, knowing that we fail Him each and every day, knowing that we're capable of doing the same thing Judas did. He still loves us. He still extends that and makes us His guest of honor. And I'm thankful for that. But that's what Jesus did here. He made Judas His guest of honor, and Judas still failed Him. Right up to the very end, I'm going to read you some more verses out of Matthew, the same account here. It says, and while He yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves, and the chief priests and elders of the people. Now he that betrayed Him gave them a sign, saying, whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he. Hold him fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, Hail, Master, and kissed Him. And Jesus said unto him, friend, wherefore art thou come? Then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took Him. Right up until the very end right here, this humbles me to think about this. Right up to the very end, He said, and Jesus said unto him, friend, friend, still offered him that friendship, still offered him a chance to repent, still offered him a chance to turn and not do what he was doing, still offered him a chance to not go that way, not follow that path, and he still rejected the Lord. And he, right up to the end, Jesus offered him that friendship. And time again, but Judas continued to reject him. And if Judas had just received the help that Jesus was offering, he wouldn't have failed at the temptation that Satan had placed in his life. We need to pray that the Lord would help us each and every day. The Bible says to reckon ourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. I try to pray that every day the Lord would help me to do that, because I know I fail him every day. But we need to try our best to pray that for ourselves, that he would allow us to reckon ourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. Hebrews 2:18 says, for that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to secure them that are tempted. That word secure there, if you study it out, that means to aid in trouble. And I'm thankful that Jesus is our aid in trouble. When we're facing temptation, when we're facing weakness, when we are having a rough time, he is our aid in trouble. He's able to secure them that are tempted. 1 Corinthians 10 says this, wherefore, let him that thinketh he stand take heed lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. He didn't say that he wouldn't put on you more than you could bear. He didn't say that you wouldn't face temptation. He just promised you a way to escape out of it. I'm thankful for that. He gives us that. And Jesus offered that to Judas time and time again, but Judas continued to reject him. If we're going to overcome the attack of Satan, we're going to overcome our weaknesses, our only hope is to allow Jesus to help us with them, to be honest with ourselves, be honest with him. Boy, I tell you, I got weaknesses, man. I do face them each day. If you're honest with yourself, you do. Our only hope is to allow Jesus to help us with them. And I pray that that was a help to you. I hope it helped you as much as it helped me when the Lord gave it to me.